Welcome back to another episode of The Way Podcast. My name is Jessica. I'm your host, and I will be taking you on another magical ride through the world of journeying and healing. So come journey with me.
Greetings, girl, and welcome to my world of phrasing right now.
Hello, dear listeners. Welcome back to another spontaneous podcast episode. Today about activation. I was talking about an experience that I had had on one of my Instagram stories and mentioned the term activation and that it's such a hollowed out term. In the spiritual healing community, we see all of these terms thrown around all the time, like trauma, birthright, activation, ascension, 5D timeline. You've seen it. And of course, when we're working with this, you know, abstract energetic material and these subjects, you know, it's important to have a language in which we can capture certain very miraculous things. But at some point, especially to people who are kind of new to their own spirituality or who are going through an awakening activation process for the first time, you hear all these words like alignment and you're like, okay, sounds good. How do I get it? What is it? So I wanted to go a little bit more into activation specifically, different types of activation that I've experienced, and a little bit more about how it works to empower you. And why is empowerment so important to me? Because it's all about sovereignty. Your relationship with Source, with the divine, with yourself is all about sovereignty and having an assertive, empowered, sovereign attitude. And while people are really seeking and searching for any kind of spiritual connection or healing, they're often tricked into giving their power away. And this is, in my opinion, really due to a big lack of understanding when it comes to the spiritual realm and how energy works. Of course, with humility, I say that because we know maybe 0.0000001% of how all of this works in the spiritual realm. And all of the rest is there for us to experience through miracles and magic and all the inexplicable beautiful things, especially while so many things are changing in the spiritual realm even. So with the greatest humility, I say that in my work, in my experience, in my own healing and helping other people, I've been able to identify somewhat of a structure and a system to how healing works. And at least what has worked in my experiences and in my case, and the same with activation. And once we know a little bit more about the different things that can activate us, how we can activate ourselves, how we can maintain our connection with Source, we become so self-sufficient. And that's really what it's all about. It's us coming into our highest potential. And for me, sovereignty is one of the markers of that. And when it comes to one of those terms like alignment, to me, that is all about sovereignty too, because people see that as something magical that kind of falls upon you if you're good and you do all the right things and you meditate. But to me, alignment is really something that we take responsibility for by really maintaining our own healing process and stopping the activities that leak energy in our lives, by upholding stronger boundaries, by being in integrity, being honest, being real. All of those things are really responsibilities and require sacrifice, especially when we take into consideration the context or the values that we see around us reflected, which are really not a reflection at all of our highest potential. It is my opinion that there is a big level of responsibility and sovereignty and integrity that comes with maintaining a good connection and restoring our Source connection and being in service in that relationship. To me, that it's what it's all about. And that is really where activation and alignment come from. Now, what I see, and this is something that a lot of people don't like to hear, but this is really what I pride myself on and how I distinguish myself in the way that I work, is consistent practice with the right methods. I cannot say this enough. Of course, activation can happen spontaneously. Some people are born very open, and even the majority of those people, their gifts, their pineal glands block and close off over time because of the way that society is, the way that we live, the way that we eat. And for the people that stay very open, they have an added responsibility as well with those gifts. And they really need to, probably through trial and error, really come into integrity with how to use them. And for the vast majority of us, we are born semi-open and then we close off over time until we realize that we are really swimming against a stream, that most of our decisions we have made from a place of trauma and soul fragmentation, which really causes such deep wounds about being unworthy and being deeply unsafe, that we build our lives around not having to feel that again. So we will become anything that we need to become in order to be perceived as successful and pleasant people and safe and any outside validation that we can get, so that we do not have to touch these deepest wounds, because we don't know that there are methods like soul retrieval that help us to integrate those soul parts at our soul core, at our soul essence, and can help relieve and heal and integrate those parts so that we are no longer searching for this outside validation. But most people don't get there until they really learn the hard way that acting from a place of unhealed trauma doesn't work, because we end up in jobs that we hate and that burn us out, relationships that burn us out. And then we discover, okay, there must be an easier way. There must be a better way. I see this working for other people. And that is really the way of life that I am here to evangelize, let's say. And it really is an easier way, but we have to give up the ego attachments. I was talking about this on a previous episode, how, and this was the episode about how I work with clients with cancer, how I've helped them to come into their own healing. And it's really about detachment from the ego in service. And this really flows into everything that we do. But we are programmed by society to want quick fixes. We want immediate gratification and results. So then when we realize that our old way of life doesn't work for us, it's not sustainable, it doesn't make us happy, it doesn't hold any meaning, not the way that we want to live, we want to switch things up, and then we want immediate results. We want immediate healing, immediate alignment. We want immediate healing for the blocks and the trauma that's been there for many, many decades in most cases. And that really goes to the root of who you are. And we want to see the quick results, the quick abundance. And I'll be honest, I've had many, many, many clients who instantly experienced such an activation where we relieved and integrated old soul parts and really helped to resolve old trauma. And the abundance, the new job, the fertility, the house came all within a matter of a few weeks. But this is unfortunately not universally the case, because it all depends on our individual trauma, and there always needs to be a conscious level to that integration as well. And especially when there's deep trauma, it's not going to all become integrated in an explosive way that's going to be disrupting in itself. This is what often happens when people activate too fast, because they go for the quick reward, the instant gratification through plant medicine, and they open up really, really fast. and then become ungrounded as a result. And I know many people, again, I have to give this disclaimer all the time, have great experience, but working as a healer sober without any aids of substances, I see all the people where it goes wrong, and it's a huge amount of people. So that's where I'm coming from, and it's ultimately not necessary. So activation really comes from sparking something that is already inherently present inside of us. We all are inherently connected to source. We just have lots of static on the line in terms of unhealed trauma, ego attachments, being very caught up in the mind, and all of those layers need to be peeled off. Now, we can have spontaneous activation. This can happen in cases of severe depression, for example, that someone becomes totally enlightened, or in my case, being so extremely sick that my third eye cracked open and all of my gifts and seeing into the spirit realm came rushing into me. But when it comes to the physical symptoms of the illness that I was dealing with, it took multiple journeys. It took time to fully release that. And still, if I'm not acting in alignment with myself, if I am taking on too much work, for example, very mild symptoms will start to come back as a warning sign telling me to come back into alignment. So just to say that activation can come in any way. With some people, it's just there and they can train it even more. With others, it happens spontaneously during a transformational time of their life. But with most people, it's something that's kickstarted by practice. And then in 100% of the cases across the board, practice makes perfect. And we need consistent practice to really fully discover ourselves through journeying. And just this morning, I had the most amazing example of activation, because I've had a few apprentices come out of the Way Circle. Now, if you're not familiar, the Way Circle is my space where, through self-study and many, many resources, I help you activate your gifts and teach you how to journey, how to heal, become your own healer. And we have bi-weekly live calls. By the way, this may change by the time that you are listening to this, but we have regular group live journeys together, and I give you consistent practice and feedback on your individual gifts and situation and help you to activate and come into alignment that way. And what I see is that my apprentices who started out in the Way Circle are so advanced and have a major head start. And why is that? It's because in many cases, for months prior, before starting the apprenticeship, they have been working with me and with the right tools for months already. So by the time we start journeying for clients, they are truly on another level. And this is great news, because it means that anyone can get to that level, but you have to have the right attitude and really value it and want to make progress and work through the things that may be holding you back. Some people don't have those things that exist, but for others, you know, there is a level of ego detachment that comes with learning how to journey, and that shows up in many different ways. And if there are unhealed wounds, they will come to the surface to be healed. And once you do, that's really where the activation comes in, because you are more whole on a soul level. You're more healed. Your nervous system responds so much more when you're journeying, which means that you experience and you sense and you see more. And an example that I like to give is that when different methods of journeying and remote viewing were being developed, they brought in a control team. So the control group was there to prove that the psychic group was actually psychic and actually performing. But what happened was that the civilian, let's say normal people control group, started to outperform the psychics. And that tells us that these methods, they work. And you don't have to be psychic or already have known gifts or experience to become the best healer and help other people and have very real journeying experiences. So this morning I was looking at my apprentice's blind journeying homework. And this is something that I love to do because in my experience, when I started doing this work, I came to it naturally, but of course I also sought out training to see what other people were doing and how I could obviously get better. But what I noticed is that a huge thing that is not being addressed by other practitioners is the aspect of how do you know that it's real? How do I know that we are seeing the same thing? How do I know that what you're telling me is real? And this is something that I wanted to get to the bottom of. And this is how I came to blind journeying, which I do myself consistently. And I have my apprentices do for activation and in the way circle as well. This is the most beautiful, simple, mind-blowing activation practice where I will give specific blind journeys. So I will give homework assignments, of course, along with all of the beautiful, miraculous healing that they learn and the client work that we do. This is a sidetrack that I include where I give blind journey homework assignments and I give them identifiers like numbers for the journeys to do, but they don't know what they are going to experience, where they are going in a journey, where I am tasking them to go and what I'm tasking them to experience until I have seen their notes and I give them the feedback afterwards, and they can never guess where they're going. They have absolutely no idea. And their accuracy is mind-blowing. And this comes with practice. And this is so important because some things you need to experience for yourself. And this is how you build the deep trust and the deep confidence in your work as a healer, because you know that you can journey not knowing to who or where or what you are journeying, and you are going to have an accurate, source-informed experience. And that is what it's all about. It's the most honest and objective way of journeying. And to be able to surrender to this process really requires an ego attachment and a deep trust in yourself and in source and in me. But when they do, and they start to see that their data is on about the most amazing, miraculous things, there's just nothing like it. And at that point, you are really a miracle worker. You're basically a psychic spy, someone who can experience anything in the universe. And this is key because some things you have to experience in blind journeys for yourself. For example, who are my guides, or where am I from multidimensionally? Because even when I work with an apprentice and I can see it and I can feel it, when it's something really, really special, I don't want to be the person to tell them. Why? Because I don't want to take that experience away from them. They need to discover that in a completely objective experience. So what I had happen recently is an apprentice of mine who I know has a very special relationship with Yeshua and Christ consciousness, for example. I tasked her in that homework to explore this further, and she had no idea where she was going, what she was going to experience, and she had the most, how do I even do justice to this in words? She had such a life-changing experience with that consciousness, and was just completely in awe and in reverence and had a true experience with Source, not knowing that she was actually having this experience with an aspect of herself. And experiencing this in the most objective way, those are really That's really what it's all about to me. And that is where activation comes from. That is my point. You can go to any healer and they can say, yeah, I journeyed for you or I journeyed with you. This is what I see. This is what I feel. These are your higher self aspects, for example. And I'm not saying that they're not accurate, but one, they could be inaccurate because if you don't master this skill, you don't know if you're accurate or not. This is the only honest way to test it. And second, you don't want to get that information from another person because then you are really giving your most important, the most important things, the truest things about your essence of essence away to someone else who you deem to be a spiritual authority figure. But I want everyone to learn these skills for themselves and to get these answers and these experiences firsthand for themselves, and from source and not me. So I'm here to empower my students and help them do that. And to be able to just see them go through that experience, guide them through and see their faces and then integrate that experience afterwards. There is nothing more special. So to say that you can get activation by working with a different person and letting them do the work, or you can play basically Russian roulette with plant medicine and hope that it all goes well. But you can also learn the tools and put in the consistent practice to have true, real, lasting activation, because you can do this every day. And once you start to exercise that muscle, it becomes bigger and stronger. Your brain starts to fire off all the right neural pathways, which is proven to really, really increase your IQ, as well as make you more sensitive to the energy around you. And it starts to integrate with every aspect of you and every aspect of your being and every aspect of your life. And this is when you become truly a soul who is not just living this 3D life, but who is really interacting with and relating to many different aspects of the universe and all the beings and beautiful consciousnesses that also live in it. And activation can also be really sped up by this process because of the outside help that we then start to receive from those beings. Because once you start moving around in the journey space, those beings can see you as well. Your guides start to interact more and more with you, and you learn who they are and how they feel and how to communicate with them. So it's like starting a whole new life all over again in a broader dimension than the one that we're used to experiencing here. And they start to activate us more. So they will come in, and you can ask for this. You can experience this in journeys. They can help different parts of you to come online, so to say. And they can help speed up certain parts of you that need healing. So the most beautiful part of journeying, I find, is when this starts to happen spontaneously. And as a reward for you going in and consistently expanding on your journey skills, and I feel like I make it sound like boring homework, it's honestly the most exciting, beautiful, miraculous thing that you can do every day. But because of that, you start to get more of a response, and you start to see auras and lights and orbs, and that's just the beginning. And these consciousnesses, when you're acting in alignment with the highest good, they are in your corner and they come to your aid and they show signs of their presence. And you start to meet people in the physical who are related to your purpose and your path. And this is also a really important aspect of activation, is having community, because sharing these experiences and having dialogue around them, or meeting people in real life and touch, like giving someone a hug, when you touch, there's also an activation that happens that is really important. So, by the way, if you want to join the next round of the Way Circle, make sure that you are on the waiting list on my website. Because sharing these experiences on top of having the right tools and a consistent place to practice is so key. And another form of activation our places. We have a grid of ley lines around the Earth with very strong Earth energies coming to the surface. And everything that has happened historically in a place, even many, many millions of years ago, that energy is really imbued into places. So when we visit sacred sites or places with these ley lines, when we spend time there in these places, the energy that is coming through the earth activates different parts of us as well. And what I feel daily, constantly, is being worked on. It's literally like being tuned like a guitar, where guides are working on our bodies, on our energy, because when we go through activation and we are, especially with consistent practice through journeying, connecting to these higher realms, it's like our body is outdated computer hardware when there's new software trying to come in, because the body is so dense and this environment is so dense. This is also why babies cry when they're born, because they're coming from a really high frequency place into an energetically dense place, and it's a shock for the body. So whenever we go through activation, it can make us extremely tired for a few days as well. I go through phases of this where I feel like I'm being worked on so much, and this can be anything from having lots of beings around me all the time to literally feeling like I'm being stirred in the head, or constantly touched around the head or certain parts of my bodies when they're tweaking things. And then the body has to integrate. And this can make you tired and a little bit exhausted at times too, but it's all for the highest good. And you can have agreements with different guides around this. It's not like other beings are allowed to change you or work on you. But when we are on a spiritual path, which is an ascension path, it's a path of ascending onto a higher frequency energetically, our higher self on other timelines is actually coming in to help us live on and attain and shift and lift our consciousness onto a higher frequency. And this is what you feel in activation, and this is when you start to see more. And this really, really comes from consistent journeying practice. And there are just so many daily incredible experiences that my students have with this, from interaction with the most beautiful beings to waking up in their sleep to a rainbow light show, just being treated to the most beautiful visions and visitations from the most high spirits and ascended masters, and even starting to journey organically, spontaneously during their sleep. And these are not dreams, these are journeyings. And they will even start to do spiritual battle, whatever their higher self is already doing on a different quantum level, will start to come into their conscious existence here. So activation is something that we choose, that we kickstart, that we are responsible for maintaining through consistent practice, and that we ultimately choose to do. I hope that this explanation was helpful, and I will see you in the next episode.